going to jump into the teaching. You have the notes in front of you. As always, I've made them available on my blog, brendanwitten.com. And so let's pray, and I just really believe the Lord to speak to us powerfully today. So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, just to be here, to hear your word, to receive from you. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our church. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for just what you have for us, even in 2019, God. And Lord, I pray that we are not just going to talk about it, but we are going to walk in it. We are going to walk in what you have for us individually and corporately. And so today, again, with the opportunity to dig into the word, Lord, I thank you that you are going to speak to us once again in a powerful and a real way. And Lord, that our lives are, there's going to be adjustment. There's going to be change. We're going to be more like Christ. And so we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right, well, today we are starting a new series entitled Revival Relationships. Everyone say Revival Relationships. And so I want to take some time, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to start building into this area. As you know, throughout this year, for most of you, well, some of you maybe are visiting, you wouldn't have been tracking with us so far this year, but we've had a great start to the year so far. We spent some time in January, really had a longer period of prayer and fasting, 21 days, altered, building altars before God, allowing God to transform our lives. It was a powerful time. And then over this last month, really through February, we spent time focusing on revival because we believe this is what God has called us to, and something he's called us to steward. And so we talked about that, and then I don't know if you were here last week, but we had Kirk Smith, who's the director of the Eastgate House of Prayer, and he brought a powerful word that really tied revival together in the place with relationships, with the table that God was calling us to, about being together around the table, about having a heart for the empty chairs at the table. That's why I'm glad we reorganized the chairs. We got more chairs there. Why? Because there's more chairs for more people that God wants to touch and God wants us to reach. And so we have that heart, but there really was a strong theme in what he was talking about. He didn't know what our plan for our next series was, but it's really around this area of relationships. And so I want to take some time and know the series over this next 4 weeks. We are going to take time to talk about relationships. And we're going to take time to talk about what God would say to us about relationships, the importance of relationships with one another, and just why relationships matter and how they connect into this heart we have for revival. And so we're going to get into that. But just as we do it, one of the things, my heart this year, we really laid out what we're calling a bit of a prophetic roadmap for 2019. At the risk of being repetitive every time I'm in this pulpit, I want to make sure we are going over again the key things that we believe God's saying to us for this year, because I want to keep them in front of us. I want us to continue to be challenged by them. And I want to see you as a member of this church family grow in these things and make sure we don't lose track. And so we said 2019 is going to be a year that will rise and fall on our prayer lives. And so I just want to ask you again, are you going deeper in prayer? We are called, and this is so foundational in this year, where we believe God is taking us. We do not want to go there unless we are people of prayer. We don't want to step into those places, and not because we're afraid, but because there is an element and a depth of prayer that is needed to sustain where God is taking us. And so I just want to encourage you, even right now, do a prayer checkup. Are you going deeper in prayer? Are you growing in prayer? We cannot just depend on the prayers of a faithful few to sustain us, but we need to be a praying people. We are called to be a praying church. Someone tell your neighbor, we are a praying church. That's what we're called. We're called to be a praying church. So it's going to be, where are we going to pray? Number two, it's a year to step out into new things that God is doing in your life. And I want to stay on this. I want to encourage you. It is the year to step out new things. What new things are you stepping out into? What risks are you taking? Where are you stepping out of the boat? Now, some of you might be like, well, I just haven't even had any opportunities yet to really step out. Well, get ready. They're coming. But I promise you, this year is a year for you to step out in the new things that God is doing. Where are you stepping out? I encourage you, keep stepping out. Keep going forward in what God has for you. Number three, it is a year for new levels of maturity. How are you growing in God? How are you growing in Him? This is so important. It's so important because sometimes we talk about the great things that God wants to do in our lives and we dream about great things, but there is a maturing process that we need to walk in so we are ready for those things. And sometimes we want to talk about the great things, but there's a personal responsibility to say, I'm going to grow in God. And I'm going to grow in what he has for me. So where are you growing? How are you growing? Even if you're facing difficulties or challenges, are you allowing those things to beat you down, or are you growing through those things and saying, okay, God, what lesson are you trying to teach me? I'm going to learn the lesson. I'm going to keep going forward. Someone tell your neighbor, learn the lesson. And so we are growing. Number four, it is a year to grow in and develop our faith and to exercise our faith. And so we're actually going to have a series after Easter where we're going to take time to focus more on what does it really look like to live by faith. But are you believing God? I just want to stir you up again this morning. This is a year to believe God. This is a year to be bold. This is a year to go deep in God, but to have those things. Don't just survive. Don't just go with the, like, what are you believing God for? Even if you got a battle in your life right now, are you believing God today? Get out of discouragement. Get out of a defeatist attitude. Step back into faith and say, I'm believing God. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm believing God. So it's a year to grow in faith. Number five, it's a year to stand with our church family members who are believing for spouses. And it's interesting, even today, I believe it's even growing even more into it's a year for marriage, and it's a year for growing in people who need to meet people, but also in marriages, that God wants to do work, and that's one of the things he's been speaking about, what he wants to do, even in marriages. But I want to encourage you, this is not meant to be, I say it every time, it's not meant to be gimmicky, it's not meant to be like kind of, okay, some turn the church into some dating service, we're trying to connect people. No, it's about meeting the person that God has for your life. But we're going to pray, and we're going to agree, and we're going to stand with our church family members on this. Amen? Amen? Oh, come on, I can get a little better amen than that. We're going to agree and stand with our church family members on this. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm praying for. I want 2020, 2021, I want to be busy doing weddings. Amen? I want to be busy watching people get connected in God's relationship. So we're going to pray for this right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come again. And Father, we agree for every person who's believing in this area. God, I thank you that you have the right person. God, that they can trust you, they can depend on you, and you are going to bring the divine connections, the relationships, whatever you got to bring them from around the world. Bring them from around the world, God. Bring the right one, keep the wrong ones away in the name of Jesus. And we're just going to continue to believe God and encourage people's hearts. They're not going to be in discouragement or hope deferred, but we speak encouragement and faith today. We believe you, God, in Jesus' name. All right, number six, it's a year for us to focus our prayer and action on the upcoming national elections. Now, again, I said this morning to our first service crowd, sometimes for some people, they're like, oh, okay, that one, how'd that fit in there? God cares about those things. Those things matter, and it's a very key year. And we don't want to wait until we get in the fall and start praying, okay, God, we want the right people in government. We're believing you to move. We want to be on it from now, amen? And so we're going to be on it from now. And then last but not least, we had said for us to contend for revival. And so that's even our entire last series. We're focusing on revival, God showing up, stirring our faith for it. And so we are going to continue in that. We're going to push forward. But today I wanted to bridge this, and I want to talk to you about revival relationships. And I want to take some time to focus on relationships and talk about the direct connection or the direct link between revival and between relationships. Now, this might, at first glance, people go, okay, how does exactly this connect? Well, we're going to talk about this. We're going to focus on it. Like I said, I thought Kirk did a masterful job last week, brought such a word of the Lord for us. And there's so much about relationships that are woven into this season. And the things we're praying for, the things we're believing for, the things that we're talking about, contending for, are very connected to relationships in our lives, relationships in this church family. And so I believe the Lord would minister to us for the next several weeks about this. Now, let's just rewind a bit. Let's talk a little bit about our mission. Our mission here at Toronto City Church, we say this a lot. We talk about it a lot. We'll talk about it in Next Steps class. We talk about it in leadership meetings. I haven't really focused on it from the pulpit in the last little while as much, but it is our mission. It's one sentence. If one sentence was to state what we're about and what we're trying to do, it's simply this, that we are going to be a spiritual family where every person encounters God's unconditional love, is established in their identity, and equipped and engaged for their purpose. And so that's in one sentence. It summarizes what we're trying to do and what we're trying to be. But if we were to take one word out of that one sentence, that would define what I believe God is wanting to do us. It is this word family. Everyone say family. We are called to be family, and we are on a journey of learning what does it look like to do church as family. Let's look at a couple verses. 1 Timothy 3:15 from the God's Word translation says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. Everyone say, God's family is the church. And so we see that God's family is the church. We are called to be family. That is what God has made us. We're not just supposed to be an organization. We're not just supposed to be a spiritual club. We're not supposed to just be a loosely affiliated group of people who get together on most Sunday mornings, depending if it works out. God says, no, I have called you to be family. I am your father. You are my sons and daughters. By the very nature of that, he has made us to be family. And so we are on this journey together of learning what does it look like to do church as family. Now, I'm not here to say we're doing it perfectly. Frankly, we've got a long way that we need to grow. But we're being humble, and we're coming back to the table, and we're saying, God, we want to be family. And every time we grow, and we impact even more people, and the church grows, we're going to have to learn in a new way, how are we going to be family in this season? How are we going to do this? But we are called to be family. This is what God has called us to. And I love this next verse, because this next verse in Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God sets the solitary in families. And there's a prophetic element of this verse for this day. Guys, because there's so many people in this city right now who are looking for family. Do you know one of the major challenges that is being faced in our culture right now? It is the challenge of loneliness. It is the challenge of there's so many people who feel so alone. And it's somewhat ironic because we live in a culture where we are more connected than any other culture has been in history through technology. We've got social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, right now I could go on my phone and I could video call someone literally halfway around the world and we could have a conversation. But in the middle of this all, people are more disconnected and people are more lonely than ever before. And there's a number of factors of why this is happening. But in the middle of this, God is raising up his church, and what people are looking for is people are looking for family. They're looking for community. They're looking for relationships. That is what people are looking for. I promise you, there is not a lot of people in this city that are sitting here right now going, man, I wish I could find something to do on Sunday morning. I am so bored on Sunday mornings. I wish I could find something to do. Maybe I could go to a church. That's not where most people are at, but those people, they may not have the words for it or the language for it, but they're looking for their Heavenly Father, and they are looking for family. And see, when they come into a church, if they come in and it's not family, then something inside them goes, no, this isn't what I'm looking for. This isn't what I'm after. But when they come and they experience family that flows out of the heart of God and flows out of people who have received the love of God and are walking that love for each other, they may not even be able to articulate, but stirs something in people's hearts because they go, something is here. I don't know what it is exactly. What do I call this? But it's because they're looking for family. And so God has called us to be family. And as the days continue and the years continue, this is going to become more and more and more important. We are called to be family. Everyone say, we are called to be family. So let's dig a little deeper on this. And let me say this. Actually, before we jump ahead, we've talked about revival. The only way we build a culture of sustainable revival is we do it through family. God said to Abraham, through you and your family, all families of the earth will be blessed. And so we have this heart for revival, but this heart for revival is going to be sustained through a culture of family. Well, let me say this to you today, to take it a step further. So what really is family all about? Well, there's many things we could say, but let me just say, family is all about relationships. You are family with someone because of the relationship between you. Family is all about relationships. And so if we have a heart for revival, we have to have this heart for family, which means we have to have a heart for relationships. Now, this is where it starts to get interesting, because sometimes we can have a heart for revival, but we can be like, but God, I don't know about relationships. I'm not sure about relationships. What is a relationship? Well, the definition of relationship actually is the way in which two or more people, it said, or concepts or objects, but we'll work with people because that's the context that we're speaking within. The way in which two or more people are connected, or the state of being connected. In other words, what is relationship? Relationship is connection. That's what relationship is all about. And if we are going to be a church that has a culture of revival, if we're going to be a church that has this heart for revival, then we need to be a church that's family, which means we need to be a church where there's real relationships, which means we need to be a church where we are connected to one another. How is your connection today to the family? See, because this is where it gets real. This is where it really starts to move forward. Because it's one thing to talk about revival. And yes, Lord, we're believing for revival. Want revival? God says, okay, let me start talking about your relationships. Let me start talking about your connection to one another. Let me start talking to you about the walls that you built up around your heart to keep everybody away. Let's start talking about the way that you are relating to others. Like, no, God, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about revival. I want to talk about fire. I want to talk about signs and wonders. I want to talk about miracles. And God's like, yes, I want to talk about that too. But let's start with your connection. Let's start with your relationships with one another. Somebody say today, relationships really matter. Oh, come on, you guys can do better than that. I'm preaching better than you're helping me at the moment. My voice is going a little bit, so I need some extra help. Somebody say, relationships really matter. Our relationships really matter. Let's start today. Let's go to Matthew 22. We're going to start in verse 34 to 40. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And this is a passage that the majority of you will be very familiar with. But let's just go through it and let's look at it with fresh eyes today. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they called a meeting to discuss how to trap Jesus. Then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart. This is the Passion Translation. With all the energy of your being and with every thought that is in you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. And I want to take some time because we're talking, okay, relationships really matter. Now let's get this picture. Obviously, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. This was not a genuine question, but it still was a very good question. And let me contextualize a little bit for us today. Because he said, what's the most important law to command? Let's contextualize it for us today. Jesus, what's the most important thing for me to get as a Christian? Jesus, what's the most important thing for us to embrace as a church? Like Jesus shows up today. We do a question and answer session. Because if Jesus showed up, I'd definitely let him have the mic. And so Jesus is here. We're going to do a Q&A session with Jesus. I think a good question would be, Jesus, what's like the most important thing we need to embrace as a church family? The most important thing we need to embrace in our lives so that we can do what you want us to do. So we can be who you want us to be. This is the question that's being asked. And it's interesting, he starts with saying, you shall love the Lord with God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So family, if we're saying relationships matter, everyone say relationships matter. We're talking first and foremost about our relationship with God. And my question for you today, as simple as it may sound, but where is your relationship with God at today? How is your relationship with God? Because if we're saying revival, it's going to be connected in family, but it's going to be connected in relationships. This is the first and foremost relationship of greatest importance. How is our relationship with God? I have this cross on the stage today as a bit of a visual representation. Because at the cross, when he died, and then when he rose again, Jesus restored our relationship with the Father. That's what the scriptures say. It says there was this wall between us. There was this divide between us. But when Jesus died and then he rose again, that wall was broken down and the doorway was open for you and I to have relationship with God the Father. It's not insignificant that when he passed, that the veil in the temple, this was the very thick curtain that was between the Holy of Holies and everything else, was torn in two from top to bottom. Why? Because up to that point, you could not have a real relationship with God. There was always an intermediary. There was a priest who could go in once a year. There were prophets who would maybe speak on behalf of God. But God's heart was that everyone would know him. God's heart is that everyone would walk with him. And so when Jesus died, what he did was he broke down the walls so we could be in relationship. And a little bit of a picture here, it's like this beam, the vertical beam pointing heavenward. We were brought through the cross and through the crucified life is about us living in relationship with God. Where is your relationship with God today? This is ground zero. This is where it starts. Now, I know it sounds on one level like a simple concept, but I have found over and over again, it's so easy for me to lose the aspect of relationship and to start moving into what I'll call religion. What is religion? Religion is doing a set of actions or activities to try and make yourself right with God. Religion can be coming to church, raising your hand, singing, giving an offering, but all of it being void of real relationship with God. Family, that is what God is after, first and foremost. And some of you are listening, maybe you've never even heard someone preach this, but God is glad you're here. God is glad that you want to know him, that you want to follow him, but he's saying, I want you to walk in real relationship with me. I want you to have a prayer life. I want you to read the Bible. I want to talk to you. I want you to know how to hear my voice. I want all of you to walk with me and to know me. And I just want to encourage you, if we're starting with relationships, this isn't my main point, but your first call above all else is that you would know God. Your first call above all else is that you would seek God, that you would pursue God. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, where is your relationship? How is the vertical doing right now? Is it really there, or has it fallen into religion? And if it's fallen into religion, if it's fallen into going through the routines, if it's fallen into depending on someone else's relationship with God more than developing your relationship with God, today is a day that you can make a change. Today is a chain that the day that you can make a decision. Just it doesn't have to be this huge thing. You have to beat yourself up. Don't have to get down yourself. Just say, okay, God, I want to recapture my relationship with you. Or maybe for some of you, it's saying, I want to take a step deeper in my relationship with you, God. It's time to go deeper. God is calling us deeper. And I actually want to say this almost prophetically this afternoon. There's so many of you. Hear the call of the Lord, because he's saying, will you come deeper in real relationship with me? Will you come deeper into knowing me and to walking with me, to not just living off someone else's relationship, but having your own relationship? There's something powerful right at the center of revival, because if revival, as we define it, is when God shows up, it's about people who are walking in real relationship with God. And then when you come in on Sunday, you don't need spiritual life support. Pastor, give me a fix. Do something. Pray for me. I got to make it through another week. I'm about to backslide. No, you come in filled up and fired up and ready to go. Why? Because you've been walking with God all week. You've been walking in a relationship with them already, and then when you come, you don't need like some life-saving spiritual technique just to help you make it anymore. No, you're in here and you're ready to give. You're ready to be part of what God's doing. And so we need to grow in relationship. Everyone say, relationships really matter. And so that's really key. It's really important. And I wanted to make sure I emphasize that, because I felt this call. If we're going to talk about relationships, the first and foremost is our relationship with God. But I want to remind you as well that the verse didn't stop just on the part of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as other translations said. But Jesus went on to say, and you must love your friend. Many of us are more familiar with the translation that says neighbor. But you must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. And he said, this is just as important. Our relationship with God really matters. I'm not taking away from that at all. I want to encourage you today. I want to call you, challenge you. You'll stir you up about your relationship with God. But Jesus said, your relationship with God really matters. But he said, your love relationship with each other is just as important. Somebody tell your neighbor, just as important. Hear me, please, today. We're not trying to compare them against each other, but Jesus literally puts them on the same level. He said, okay, it's loving God with our whole soul, mind, and strength. That's relationship. But he says your love for your neighbor, your love for your friend, your love for those around you is just as important. Now, why does this matter? Well, here's been my observation, and this has been from my life of following God and walking with God for nearly 40 years now. 35, 36, whatever you get technical about that. It also comes from my experience of pastoring for 20 years now. And here's what I found. Most of us in this room have some context of the vertical relationship. We have context of the importance of our relationship with God. We might not be very good at it. We might not be walking in it too much, but we at least have that concept. We know it's important. We say, most people, how many know your relationship with God is important? I mean, it goes back, we've got evangelists like Billy Graham talking about personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We talk about having relationship, not religion. We're very aware of that. But what I've found in my life, in many people's lives that I interact with, we are not close to as aware of the preeminence and importance of our love for one another. And we don't put it on the same level. Jesus put them right by each other. But what happens, and it's for many reasons, is many of us don't have an awareness of the importance of our love for one another. You know, again, if we go to this picture of the cross, if we just have the vertical beam, it's not a cross. It becomes a cross when the horizontal beam is placed on it as well, which represents the horizontal nature of relationships. And so when we are living a crucified life, when we are, if I could say it this way, taking up our cross and following him, there's many aspects, but it's importance of relationship with him. That's so key. But what about our love for one another? What about our relationships with one another? Now I want to say that very clearly, because our relationships really matter. Someone tell your neighbor, your relationships really matter. See, it's interesting, as you said this, just I thought was most of us are familiar with the term neighbor being used in this passage. But the Passion Translation, probably what they do is they look at the Greek text, but also the Aramaic text, because there's translations, and it was written as well in Aramaic. And the word in Aramaic is the word karen, which K-A-R-E-N, and literally that was translated to friend or neighbor. It means one who is close to you. That's what it literally means. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love those who are close to you. And what it means, it's talking about proximity. In other words, those who are close, that's why the word neighbor is a correct translation. Somebody just reach out and appropriately touch someone in proximity, just someone around you. Just give them a high five, give them a handshake, give them a little pat on the back. Appropriately, please, don't get me in trouble. And see, so it's proximity, but it also refers to, or it means also emotionally close to you. And Jesus is saying, listen, like, make sure we catch the context of this. What's the most important thing? He says, okay, it's loving God, it's relationship with God, but then it's also your love for each other. But my experience in my life, and my experience for many of us believers, is that this is an area that we often really struggle. And I understand why. It's one thing to have relationship with God, who is perfect, who is all-knowing, who is never going to let us down, who is always with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us, whose word is always true, whose promises are yes and amen, who knows us, who loves us unconditionally, who never hurts us, who never puts us down. It's one thing to be in relationship that direction, but it's a whole nother thing to be in relationship with people who are not always there for us, who are not perfect, who let us down, who hurt us, who disappoint us, who cause problems and challenges for us. And so what happens with many of us is we're good with our relationship with God. I'm good. Me and Jesus, I'm fine. That's why how many Christians don't even bother going to church anymore, and they just stay at home and watch their favorite YouTube teacher or their favorite YouTube teacher or attend church via the internet. Now, I'm not trying to hate on all that. There's a place for that, that it can make a difference, and if people are stuck out in the middle of nowhere or whatever, but if you're doing it because you don't want to have anything to do with people, if you're doing it because you're not willing to take a risk in relationships, if you're doing it because there's been so many walls built up in your life, you can't connect with anybody, then you are actually putting yourself in a position where you can't even obey the basic command that Jesus gave us. Right? This is where it gets real, though, family, right? So, oh, yeah, love our neighbor as ourselves. No, that means like loving our people around us and walking in relationship and taking risks and being open for connection. See, it's part of it is part and parcel of our culture right now because we are so disconnected. So I'm not even faulting most of us for struggling with this because that's what we grow up in. We don't even know our neighbor's names anymore. We don't know. We walk around. We don't even, I wish you, but one of the things I always love, if we go out into cottage country, like I grew up, anyone grew up going to a cottage or growing out camping or something like that? We grew up in cottage country, and then every once in a while, you know, I found a compromise because I kind of like cottage outdoors, like not too rugged and hardcore. Like I'll go on the canoe trip with my dad, more for my dad. It's not my best thing, but cottage, I can do cottage. But Pastor Sharon, she doesn't do cottage. That's just not, Pastor Sharon doesn't jump in lakes. She doesn't want to fish. She doesn't want to, you know, swims. He just doesn't do all that. So we found a great compromise because we go up to Muskoka, 5-star resort on a lake. It works perfectly. Everything is great. She gets a resort. I get my lake. We are good. But you know, one of the things about cottage country, it's funny. You get into it. You got to get used to it. Everyone says hi to each other. Right now, I'm not trying to present cottage country as like the perfect utopia. But you know, you get used to be out in the boat. You wave to people and they wave back and you say hello to people. It's just like polite. And they almost look at you funny if you don't. But our culture has moved so much to a point of disconnection. It almost puts us, we're not starting from ground zero. Most of us are starting from a negative place. And then when you go through life, when you have wounding and hurts and different things in relationship, what most of us naturally do to protect ourselves is we just build up walls. And so watch this. If we're saying revival is going to be about being family, which is going to be about relationships, which is going to be about being connected, but if a lot of us have made an inner vow or built our lives so I don't connect with anybody, how do we even get involved in that? Right? We'd roll in the church late, hide out. Soon as benediction's done, we're gone. Right? Just like, don't ask me to connect. Why? Because connection is scary. Connection is hard. Connection is risky. Connection means I might be inconvenienced. Connection means my life is already busy enough. I wake up at 6 a.m. to get showered and ready to commute into the city, to do my job, to commute home, to try and take care. I don't got time for people. I don't got time for place. And see, what God's saying is I got to rearrange this because I put relationship at the top. I put connection at the top. I actually said it's the most important thing. And if you have built your life, which many of us, without even knowing it, have built your life to protect you from connection, then what you're actually doing is you're protecting yourself from obedience to God's command. You're protecting yourself from destiny and purpose. Why? Because destiny is always released through connections that God wants to release to you. But if you're like, I'm not going to connect anywhere with anybody, you're never going to get there. Do you see how important this is? Someone say relationship really matters. In other words, I can preach, I can pray, I can prophesy, I can serve, I can sacrifice, I can give, I can be really, really spiritual, I can do all these things, but if my relationships are not right, it's not right. In other words, as Jesus would say, this one thing I have against you. How about you? Sometimes I feel like it would be many things he'd have against me. Right? If it's just one thing, I'd be like, oh good, just one thing, okay. Right, then, okay, what is it? You know, but there's an element of this, guys, that I believe the Lord wants to unlock for many of us. Because we've put priority. You know, it's funny. You could take somebody, can we just real talk right now? You could take somebody, come in at the front worship, and I love our culture of worship at the front. I'm not knocking that at all. But you come in, worship, hands raised, prophetic words. You know, you just go, man, that person's on fire. That person's after God. And all, you can have all this stuff, read their Bible. I know people who quote Bible, quote this, quote that. But they're mean, and they don't know how to connect with people. They don't know how to love people. It's just like, everyone just stay away. That's not the life that God has called you to live. Listen, it's good that you're going after those things, but you don't have a cross if you only have the vertical. It only becomes a cross when there's a vertical and a horizontal, and we learn to love each other. We learn to be in relationship. We learn to be connected. We let God heal our hearts, because that's the reason most of us struggle with connection, because so-and-so bit me, and so-and-so bit me, and so-and-so bit me, and so-and-so did this to me, so I'm not letting anybody close to me anymore. Why? Because my experience has been that gets me into pain. But the problem is you build a wall around yourself and then you wonder why you're lonely. You build a wall around yourself. You wonder why, I don't know, I just this and that and all that stuff. You build this wall and then you wonder why people can't get in. Can I meddle for a second? Some of you, God's got that right person for you, but you got to start learning to take the walls down. Because you're keeping them out without even realizing you're keeping them out. Because if God sent them right now, they would not be able to get in. Good preaching, Pastor. All right. Amen. I'll cheer myself on. See, but it's even more than that, because that's kind of the one we jump to. But what if your destiny and stepping into your destiny this year was on the other side of allowing yourself to become more connected? What if things God wanted to do was on the other side of allowing yourself to become more connected? It's just my revival. Yeah, we want revival. Okay, family. Yeah, that's still pretty kind of, yeah, we want family. Okay, relationships. I don't know so much about relationships. Can I just have revival without relationships, God? Can we just have revival? Like, can I just come in? Like, I want the revival and I want the move of God, but please just don't make me meet anybody, talk to anybody, open my life up to anybody, inconvenience myself for anybody. None of that. I want revival, just no relationships, but it just doesn't work. Do you know that every person that's going to come to Christ over the next season is going to come through relationship? Right? Because even if they walk in that door, because people do, they find us on Google. You'd be shocked how many people I talk to find us on Google. But here's the deal. They find us on Google. They walk through the door. They give their life to Christ. If somebody doesn't start a relationship with them, why are they going to stay? See, this is a relationship renovation that God wants to do. I'm not talking today about just a nice little message that go, yeah, okay, I guess relationships are important, I guess relationships matter. No, I'm talking about opening our lives up and saying, God, what do you want to do in me regarding relationships? Because Jesus, you said this is the most important thing next to loving you. It's how we love one another. Somebody say relationships really matter. All right, I'm going to land this plane. I'll just jump through a couple things here. If you're looking for proof, go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. I'm not going to go through that all right now, but we know the passage. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm nothing but a clanging gong or somebody. I can give my body to the poor. I can do all these spiritual things, but if I don't have love, which is manifested through relationship, right? Like, look at what love is. Love is patient. We have to be patient. You're not patient when you're by yourself all the time, right? Patience always involves somebody else. Love is kind. Kindness always involves somebody else. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not easily angered. What? That always, I mean, maybe you can get really easily angered with yourself, but usually not being easily angered involves somebody else. It's not proud. Why? Because pride is comparing myself to somebody else. It is not, keeps no record of wrong. What is that? That's involved with somebody else. Love always trusts. Relationship. Always hopes. Relationship. Always perseveres. There's relationship all woven through this. And if I build a wall to keep everybody out, I can't love. Or I can kind of love from a distance. Love you. I really love you. Stay away, but I really love you. Right? God's looking to do a relationship renovation. Everyone say relationship renovation. Look at John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See relationship in that passage? Not about you, but I'd be tempted with Jesus. You're going to know your disciples by the miracles. They're going to know you're my disciples by the way you preach. They're going to know your disciples by the way you don't sin. Now, all these things are important factors, but he said, no, it's going to be the way you love one another. Look how much one another, that's relationship, that's connection. Relationships really matter. God wants to do relationship renovation in us. And I want to encourage you, let him do a renovation. Let him do a complete rearrangement. And it's a little scary as a little child, but saying, okay, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. And for some of us going, God, I think Pastor Brent's talking about this, and I think there's some stuff here, but I don't even know exactly what's here. So you just need to say, okay, God, relationship renovation, whatever you need to do in my life, bring that renovation. I love Acts 2, 42 to 47. I actually want to read this one to you. And so if we can pull that one up on the screen, Acts 2, 42 to 47, we'll finish with this. And it's talking, now listen to relationship, because this is talking about the revival that was in the early church. Now as we read through this, watch how much relationship is built into this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That word fellowship there is the Greek word koinonia, which talks like that is the relationship word in the Bible. We're all together. We're with one another. We're of one spirit. We're of one heart. That's what koinonia is all about. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the koinonia, to the breaking of bread. You don't really do that by yourself. And to the prayers. Obviously, you see scripture, there's personal prayer, but prayer is always meant to be a corporate element to it. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. God, and having favor with all the people, for the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See how relationship is all through that? Every aspect is about relationship. Will we allow God to do relational restoration in our heart? Because we are after revival, but it's going to come through relationship. And so I don't know if Mike's still around or Pastor Samuel's around. Someone just join me on the keys. We're going to land this plane. So as we close here today, because we're really beginning a series, I just want to encourage you to look at your life today with an open heart, with humility, and say, God, what do you want to speak about my relationships? Where is your relationship with God today? But beyond that, not only where is your relationship with God, But how is your relationship with your family today? Why? Because relationships really matter. It matters to God. And you can't control everything and everyone else around you. But we can say, oh, God, I love you. God says, okay, I want to talk to you about the way you treat your parents. Well, no, I don't want to talk about all that, God. I just want to worship you. I just want revival. I just want whatever. God says, okay, but let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about your relationship with your siblings. Okay, let's talk about your marriage. No, I don't want to talk about my marriage. I want to talk about revival. And God's like, yeah, okay, but relationships matter. If you have your gift at the altar and you're ready to bring it to the Lord, remember your brother, or let me contextualize, your wife or your husband has something to get, leave your gift and go and make things right. Like, it's this element of saying, guys, relationships really matter. And I believe this is a year that if we allow the Lord, he will do renovation in our relationships. And as our relationships are renovated, we will have an ability to sustain what God wants to do in our lives. How about friendships? I believe God wants to do something powerful this year in the area of friendships. God wants to do powerful. There's kingdom friendships and kingdom connections that he's bringing that are going to be part of what he's called us to do. But we got to get the relationships right. How are my relationships with my school, my workplace, my community? How are my relationships in church? Somebody say, relationships matter. Our relationships, our connections matter. And I believe if we allow the Lord, even over this series, and obviously it's not just going to happen in 4 weeks, but I believe God wants to spark something in us to help us grow and to go deeper in our relationships in every area of our life. Somebody say it again, relationships matter. And so if you're with me, because I'm already responding, I'm saying yes, I already responded first service already. But if you're saying, God, I want you to do renovation in my relationships. I want to open my life up so you can do renovation in relationships in me. If that's you today, I want you just to raise your hand wherever you are. If you're just saying, God, I want to let you do renovations in me. I'm just like, I'm like, God, come in. Like, even if I think I'm doing okay, let Jesus come in. We'll get even better. Like, this is going to go. So if your hand's raised, stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to shut this thing down. So just stand to your feet, raise your hands, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for relationship renovation in our lives. God, there's a whole bunch of us standing in this place because we're saying to you, we want relationship renovation. We want you to do this work of renovation in our hearts and our lives. And so in Jesus' name, we thank you for relationship renovation. In the name of Jesus, relationship renovation, God, speak to us. I pray we have the humility, God, just to allow you to talk to us, Lord. Lord, to talk to us about our relationships with one another, to talk to us about the relationships in our life that you want to work in, that need to change, and we will not run away from these things or dodge these things, God, but we will have divine strategy from you, and it's a season of relationship renovation in the name of Jesus.